You're listening to Have Mike Will Travel with Elizabeth Santry.
Hey, welcome to the show. Today's guest is the partner of We Holden in Philadelphia, Eric Weiss. And he talked me through his creative journey. But the best part about this episode is the humor that Eric brings to the conversation. I really hope you enjoy it.
Wow. All right.
I might go off the track too.
You can do whatever you want. That's the point. So okay. Usually I get a tour. I'm not going to, I hate to compare you to other guests, but when I come to their space, I usually get a little bit of a tour, and I got nothing this time. So we're at your...
Do you want me to give you a tour?
No, it's too late. We're already recording.
Oh, I should give you a background of what we do.
Well, I mean, I did a little research. Come on.
All right.
So, out of curiosity, how long has this venture been going on?
Since 2010.
Really? Okay.
And it's 2014 now?
Yeah, it's the one. 14.
So, 7 years.
Yep. Spot on.
If my math is correct.
Yeah. Carry the two.
I'm not in accounting.
Yeah, so. Thank God. Okay, so let me ask you, like, super thoughtful in terms of your work and your perspective. How is this venture different for you? Like, what is it offering you than other work that you've done, projects or business ventures, being in this collective?
Financial stability.
Okay. No, I mean, yeah. That's important.
This very weird way how this came about.
Uh-huh.
You know, I started as an art director. Mm-hmm. And actually, before that, I grew up in a restaurant.
Okay.
And worked there since I was about 14. Went to college and bartended for a year in Europe. And then came back to Philadelphia, worked for my family at their restaurant for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have the personality.
Mm-hmm. Or the math skills.
Yeah. I should have just stopped at, I don't have a personality.
Just got that awkward
sound. I don't have a personality. You know, I don't really care if someone's lobster's cold.
Right.
I never gave a shit about that. So I stopped working there, and my neighbor owned a graphic design company. And I was a painter in college,
mm-hmm.
like a fine arts.
Oh, okay. So there's the creative start, the foundation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to school in New England and, you know, would stand in the art studio and look out in the mountains, and I had hair at the time.
It was a different world.
It was a different world. I was healthy.
Right.
Fish was really big. I wasn't really into them, but any...
Oh, pH.
Yeah, pH fish.
I thought you were just talking about your diets.
No, not at all. Anyway.
I remember those times.
It was a time of entitlement. It was great.
Yeah.
So my neighbor had a design studio, and I interned for her, and I really enjoyed it. So I went back to school at night. She paid for it,
mm-hmm.
which was great. I went to the Art Institute and stayed at that firm for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we did a lot of, I think, like, my first design job was the Cat Fancy credit card,
mm-hmm.
which was a fantastic photo shoot.
Uh-huh.
Because I got to be like, you know, this was it was pre-digital photography.
Mm.
So we're in this big photo studio, and this guy's got all these kittens, and I'm like, move your pussy over here, and can you trim that pussy's hair, and look at all that beautiful pussy, you know, because it was cats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I had to design,
I had to design
these Visa cards. And then the next Visa card, it was for First USA, was the Kiss card. So I did a photo shoot with Kiss.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Gene
That's
Simmons.
That's quite a jump.
Kind of, sort of.
Oh, you were going to draw a parallel?
Yeah, I mean, so I did that. And then, you know, we did, like, Rough Nation Records and a bunch of other stuff
like
that.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then after that, a guy I was working there, who's now my business partner, he was working at that first place. He went over to Comcast and became the creative director.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over there as an art director for a couple years, actually 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like the in-house team, third idea guys who just sat in a corner office, and every so often someone would come in and ask us, like, hey, what do you think of this? And
mm-hmm.
then we'd give them an idea, and they would roll their eyes and leave. And it was, you know, it mm-hmm. was fine. It was
yeah.
stable.
But this is where the connection, the business relationship with your partner is coming.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
developing through the years you guys working together.
Yeah, I've known my business partner for 15 years.
Okay.
And he's super stable and calm, and it's a really good relationship
yeah.
that way. But I left Comcast to go on tour with John Legend.
Uh-huh.
And then because I was starting to write commercials and shoot a lot on the side, art direct a lot of commercials. And then I had known John from when he was starting in Philadelphia, and his manager at the time, I knew.
I didn't know that.
Kids. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
And said, hey, you know, you're shooting a lot. Do you want to go on tour with John for Ordinary People? And I said, oh, yeah, sure. That'd be great. I had never picked up a fucking camera in my life.
Oh, really?
So they flew me out. We were meeting in Europe, in like London or something. And I remember I had bought the new Sony HVX cameras. They were the new HD cameras. I didn't even know what a fucking aperture was or stop. Yeah, so I was reading the manual on the plane.
You just painted yourself into a corner and said, should I have to figure this out?
Fuck yeah. Yeah, you know? No, I think and that's I cool. read it and just and got out. And like the first like couple days of footage, like I watched it recently. It's pure shit. I mean, it's like, how can I say this in a nice way? I don't know. Like a fucking dictionary in a washing machine. It's just like words everywhere and movement. You know?
Yeah.
I was going to say Michael J. Fox, but it's like, that's a too soon, sorry. But I mean, just like shaky as all hell.
So how do you go to falling in love with it and making it like your thing for a while?
I just started to learn it, and he had a lot of people that were around, you know, a lot of photographers, and I'd watch what they were doing. And, you know, by the end of the month, I was pretty keen with it.
But you had the eye. I mean, you had final training, you had commercial application because you're working as an art director. So all you needed to learn was the technicality of that specific device. So that's, I mean,
I understood composition.
Right. You know, framing and all that stuff.
Yeah, so it became kind of natural.
Yeah.
And then I ended up touring with him for about 3 years and through him got a lot of other jobs and did a bunch of music videos and things like that. But this was in my mid-30s by then, so it was, you know, usually those kind of traveling documentarians for music and video directors are pretty young. And by then I was, you know, like kind of, you know, hurt knees, bad back.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this shit anymore. You know, like I'm fucking old, man.
So was that the genesis of settling in on a space and getting an agency?
I came back to Philly for a break and was offered a chance to do a documentary on Sailor Jerry. And you know, initially I thought that was going to take 2-3 months, and it ended up taking 2 years. And that, you know, I loved it. I'd always been interested with tattooing and the culture around it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a total passion project.
Well, can I interrupt you? Was it for a doc? Because I love documentary. Like, I would love to make one eventually one day, and I love to watch them. But is it some? I feel like sometimes you can divide into camps: people who are passionate about the truth or passionate about just storytelling. Do you feel like you fit in either one of those categories? Like, when it came to that, was it more about like the research and finding the truth of the story, or just being like, this is a rad story, I want to be part of telling?
It's a rad story because it's based off yarns and folklore, and you know, I always felt as a kid when you walked into a tattoo shop, everyone was telling stories, and they were
almost like a barbershop kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, there's an element of truth to some of the stories,
but most just a mirror.
You know, have been built upon and built upon and built upon. So, you know, and they've been embellished and they elaborate and becomes more colorful and funnier. And that's what I wanted the movie to be about. The movie has underlying themes as well. You know, about blew a gasket in my head.
Okay.
I haven't talked about the film and so.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask you about so travel. You know, you're talking about travel, and I love to bring that up with my guests and see about influence and what that means. Because you still like if I follow, you know, your Instagram and stuff, and you make great images. And travel seems to be a big part of that. Now, is that do you get away with it for work, or is that
it's
your
mostly
self-pleasure?
Fate? Because I just take pictures off the internet and then I say it, and then I use accents like Guatemala is so beautiful this time of year. That drives me fucking nuts, man. When you talk, like, my sister will never listen to this, but like my sister does I know.
Best friends with your sister.
You know, you talk to someone who like went to a country and they come back and they say the name of the place like the locals say it. Get the fuck out of here. You know, like, how was your trip? Oh, Guatemala? Like, do you go to a fucking Olive Garden and order an Italian? I don't. Like, yo quiero el unlimited breadstick y una... You don't fucking fucking do that.
So that's the negative side of traveling. What is the positive side of traveling?
I enjoy traveling. I love traveling.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Once you get it down to not a science, but make it easy, I mean.
For sure.
Airports are horrible.
Oh, exactly.
Airports are the sole reason that there's camouflage cargo shorts. I've decided. Like, that's the only place that people wear those things. And the people that are always wearing camouflage cargo shorts, mm-hmm. like, you throw those motherfuckers in a jungle, they're going to be dead in like 10 minutes. You know, they're just going to die.
Camouflaging how much
it's crazy. And those foot, those, like, the feetsy
shoes.
The,
oh, God. The toe sneakers.
Monkey shoes and fucking bananas.
No, I think that was, like, a practical joke, and it actually, like, took off.
John Grisham novels. That's like the only thing you see in airports. Grishams and camo shorts.
Well, I also feel like, I mean, I don't, if the TSA is listening, this never happened. But no, like, I just feel like there's just this sort of mall cop kind of egos.
Yeah, it's all ridiculous.
I really don't like any of that. That is the only downside to travel. Like, it's, forget how much it costs. I'm willing to save up and do what it has to do. It is literally the experience of flying. It's really dreadful.
It's pretty terrible. And yeah. You know, what's the quote? You can judge a society by its prisons. It's not that. You can judge a society by the way they get on and off a plane.
Yeah.
Because people go fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I got it down to, I only just carry a bag. Yeah. I'm not exactly like a fashionista, so I got a pair of dungarees and a shirt. I just bring, and I usually buy underwear.
So not a bad idea. Well, okay, so we did that about travel. Let's, in contrast, because like I said, I'm doing the seasons based on locations. You're a Philly boy. Like, what does the Philadelphia culture do for your creative energy? Or it could just be like not, and you're like, that's why I travel.
Well, that is why I travel.
Okay, fair. I like
it. I'm born and bred in Philadelphia. I've never, and people that visit this city always agree with me, but of course my close family always be like, this place is amazing. I've never witnessed such insular animosity in a city that I have here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about it combined with the Philadelphia accent.
Mm-hmm. There's you mean like the Delco accent? That's my faves.
Well, there's a commercial that's on the radio now for Horizons Plumbing.
Oh, God, yeah, I think I've heard it.
It's the worst. It's the boss. And he puts these stupid Seinfeldisms. He's like, you ever notice you're going down? You ever notice you're at an Eagles game and you ask for a Coke and a water and they give you a Coke and a water? You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
And if you're driving or if you're stopped in traffic and you hear this, you just want to kill the man.
The rage.
And I've always thought, like, I should call the guy at least and be like, hey, man, your commercials are the most annoying fucking things on the planet.
And he's like, that's the point.
And they're on three different stations. So every time I push, and, you know, you want to listen to the radio, but that accent is so bad.
Yes.
Cake and water. Oh, you want a coconut water? It's delicious. I said a cake and a water. It's terrible.
It is terrible.
But yeah, I mean, I hark on Philly so much because it is.
I think it's a bittersweet environment. I know what you're trying to explain.
Yeah.
It's like your family. Like, when other people talk shit, you're just like, whoa, hold up. And then, but it's like, but I can say what I want.
Yeah, I used to, but now I'm starting to mostly agree with people because I spend a lot of time on the West Coast, and not to sound like a total idiot, but you know, I enjoy it, and I'll take the false niceties of the West Coast over the real anger any day.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. You know? Because it can wear you down. I mean, it got to the point where the only place I can consciously remember hearing, like, please, thank you, and excuse me, is in, like, the expensive food stores, like Trader Joe's or Whole Foods. Nowhere else are you going
to
hear that.
Well, the other thing is, too, if you're from Philadelphia, you know, and people are nice to you, you're still thinking of ways to exploit the shit out of them. So it's like, I hope they're, like, fake and nice, because then I could take their wallet, you know. I'll be like, cool, you know. And they'll be like, what's this Amazon bill? And I'll be like, hey, guys, check out my new starter jacket, you know. So.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you, because you've been making me laugh a lot. I haven't. Not to say that my other guests don't have a sense of humor, but I knew you were going to be a funny guest, and I was looking forward to it because you have a nice sense of humor. I wanted to know about the relationship with, like, advertising and humor, because I recently just saw didn't you do the Spy Museum advert?
Yeah, I did that for another agency.
Right, okay, fair enough, but the point is it's in your catalog of work.
Yeah, you know, I didn't write it, they wrote it.
Oh, that's fair, but I mean, at least you executed this story. Yeah. You know, it's still storytelling and to, you know, get it done. I mean, but in general, like, do you use humor in your work?
I try to, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of our clients are booze.
Okay. So there's the room to be funny, right?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of room to be funny. And, you know, like I said before, I grew up in a restaurant, and I think I gave this weird kind of talk a while ago about how, especially for millennials, mm-hmm. 20-somethings, mm-hmm. have you heard of this group?
I have.
Okay. Well, I think food has replaced music for a lot of these people as the searchable, as the kind of, you know, it used to be you would hear a band.
He's just pulled out a walker.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm describing it for the listeners at home.
But you would hear a band, like you'd go see a band, right? Yeah. And you had never heard of them. And then you'd go to the record store or whatever and you'd search it. Mm-hmm. You'd tell your friends and mm-hmm. you'd pass it along. And you'd be the ambassador of that thing, the ambassador of that cool. Now, you know, if you hear a band, you're on iTunes in a second. You could see 17 other bands that are just like that. And you're passing that information very quickly.
Uh-huh.
With food, you still have to experience it,
okay.
right? And with that, you know, these kind of things that were, I don't want to say working class, but they've been fetishized to a point that I think it's ridiculous. And it takes the fun out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know people that now have, like, databases of the restaurants they've eaten at. How fucking painful would that be to eat with someone like that? You know, like, did you try the
they give you a survey when you're finished eating.
Oh, Eric, it's fine. You know, it's fucking soup, man.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that pretension...
It's always been there.
But just across the board. I mean, you can talk about fashion that way. You can talk about food. I get what you're saying,
yeah.
for sure. And it's
but you're eating out of a motherfucking food truck, you know, and you're acting like it's Lebec Finn.
Well, I mean, I to give some credit, I think that that's sort of a business platform these days. I mean, you've been to Austin. I've only been to Austin once. My mind
don't get me wrong. I exploit the shit out of it because that's
what business platform
do.
Of, like, good food on paper plates, like, that's just clever.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, there's a whole you know, model that we follow, especially for a lot of these boozes. I mean, we're creating stories for basically, what is there? You know, there are only a handful of different liquors.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
They're different spirits.
Yeah.
You're putting spins on every one of them.
Right.
You know, it's a story that you're selling.
Yeah. Well, see, I lived overseas for a little bit, and my point of saying that is I noticed that it's really uptight. Advertising culture in America, there's so little room for what is funny.
Yeah.
I feel like the room for what is funny overseas, and I'm not talking for every culture, I'm talking specifically to Europe.
Yeah.
They will joke about some shit that just America will be like, you know, and it's like, do you have the room to be funny? Like, genuinely, do you have the room, or is there a lot of editing or red tape?
Yeah, well,
with
liquor, you have to be careful with what you do because there's a lot of rules, especially in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the discus, which is, I don't even know what that is. That called an anagram? Is it not an anagram?
I don't know. What's it?
When initials or something. I'm sounding really intelligent.
Oh, no, no. I think an anagram is at the front and back when you read it the same front and back. You're talking about an analogy. Now you made me just forget what it is.
Yeah, you should edit this part out.
You're making me
It's super late and I've been up since like 6.
Acronym.
Fuck me. I was about to say monogram. So an acronym,
like,
whatever, but, you know, there's rules because, you know, it's a regulated substance, so you have to be careful and you
but
don't want minors
that.
To, you know, and,
It doesn't sound fun, you're not selling it to me.
No, it's really fun. I enjoy it. Well, we do, see, we create brands, that's the thing, too.
Right, from scratch.
From scratch, right. So one of the things we Holden does is we partner with liquor companies and entrepreneurs and people like that, and we create brands with them. So an example is our partners in Mexico came to us with a spirit that was based off a recipe of a Menjorje from Puebla in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And they were redoing that formula, mm-hmm. and they wanted to intro it into Mexico and the U.S. market.
Stop plugging your product.
Yeah. So it's available online. No. But, you know, what I love about that, there's so much forensics involved in that because
uh-huh.
you're reading about that time period and you're researching it and you're learning about the culture of that time and the Mexican jazz age and all these things.
Well, I was going to ask you, like, you like researching, I mean, because that is a part of documentary.
Well, I
part
love
of branding,
it. I mean,
so, yeah.
With the
That's
Sailor
cool.
Jerry film, I mean, that was what was so fun because, you know.
Uncovering the stories.
Uncovering
the
stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took 2 years to find all these old heads that worked with Jerry, that were influenced by Jerry,
That's
Mike
cool.
Malone, Don Ed Hardy, Zeke Owen, and each finding all these guys and getting them to talk to me was an adventure in itself.
I believe you.
You know, and I got to be really good friends with a lot of them. You know, that's still talk to Ed Hardy, and he's brilliant. You know, he's so, he's the exact opposite of what has happened to his name.
I've heard that.
I mean, he's a brilliant, I don't think he regrets it because he's rich as hell now.
Okay, fair enough.
But, you know, this is a guy that got accepted to Yale for printmaking in the 60s, turned it down, and became a tattoo artist on the Pike. I mean, that's unheard of in the 60s. Now, you expect every art student to be like, I'm going to be a tattoo artist and be on TV, you know, and I'm going to have a clothing line.
Yeah.
But for this guy, you know, I mean, and he really changed the face of tattooing.
Just, to be fair, there are some decent tattoo artists with clothing lines, but none bedazzled and jeweled.
Yeah.
Just to be fair.
And but the thing is, he spent years tattooing. He didn't care who walked in the door. Why should he care now who's going to buy a $40
hat? Oh, for sure. I wasn't taking a jab. I was just saying it's a specific type of clothing
line. He doesn't
line.
Give a shit. Yeah. You know? Good for him.
Yeah, he's laughing to the bank, for sure.
Yeah, and you know, all of a sudden, Zeke Owens is the exact opposite. He's this ex-biker that's a total journeyman. But meeting these guys and talking with them and then going to Hawaii and going to the archive department and finding all these great photos and people are always like, oh, I can't believe you went to the archives. That's so amazing. You know, good for you. I'm like, it's not the hard part's not going to the archive. The guys already did the work. The people that donated to the archive did the work. The people that organized the archive did the work. A guy like me, that half the research is already done. I'm just looking at pretty pictures. We did a book based off the film and everyone was like, oh, you know, this is great. Thanks for investigating. I was like, I didn't do this. Someone else already did this before.
Right. You're just creating visibility.
Yeah. It was the person that had the foresight to be like, I'm going to donate my photos to this museum.
Right. You know? No, and that's
we don't think about that.
To have the foresight to know that you're a part of something.
Yeah.
That there's a time, that something's really interesting that's happening and that you're a part of it.
Because all that stuff could have just been in, you know,
absolutely
thrown away or in some hipster flea market, hanging on some kid's wall, which might have been fine too, but...
I know what you mean.
That's why I'm always so fascinated about how people buy all this vintage stuff now, and it's all from estate sales. It's all from dead people.
It's the best kind.
You know? And I'm like, you know, it's like, oh, it's so fat. Isn't it cool? It's authentic. The capital A and a little...
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit of a sucker for something with a story, for sure.
Yeah.
I might be in that category.
I mean, there's a lot of self-hate going on right here, as you can probably tell. But, I mean, maybe that's what motivates me, and that's part of how my city influences me.
Yeah, so can I ask you, might not seem like a super personal question professionally, but I was curious, are you in a position where you can choose your own clients?
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing is because I think it's kind of loaded, not loaded, but it's suggestive that not everybody is at that stage.
I said that really quick.
Yeah, no, but that's great. Maybe I'm questioning you because I don't believe you. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But I feel like I tend to ask people like how they define success. But to me, that was like a way of asking like a success, quote unquote, success question to you is, are you in a position that you, A, can pick your own clients, and B, what is it that you look for in a client? Because it's a relationship.
Yeah, I look for projects that are stimulating, and I look for projects that will be partnerships.
So does it go under your personal likes and dislikes? You know what I mean? Do you like to keep work tied into personal so that you can go and do things that you genuinely enjoy?
Sure, okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, I've been wealthy, and I've also been dirt broke. So I've always either been up or down or up and down. For years, I didn't make any money when I was doing film.
Right. Can I ask you a question? I like to like force people to like be in a moment. Do you remember a moment where you actually like turned work down because you were doing well? Like, and like, what did that feel like and where were you at?
Yeah, we always turn
work. No, but like, I mean the first time where you're like, holy crap. Like, cause I know what it's like to, you know, freelance or just be out there. You tend to, that there's that, what's the scarcity. You tend to be in like a scarcity mode versus an abundance mode where you're like, shit, I don't want to lose, if I turn this down, who knows? Like, you get in that mindset.
We just did that recently to a very big client of ours, but because it became such a, not a burden, but it was, your quality of life was really being affected. We're only on the planet for me, it'll probably not be that much longer. I mean, these past 40 have been a little rough. I don't think, you know, these 8 months of health that I've been doing here is like throwing a chair off the Titanic right now. It ain't
as it's been, I think, was it Kurt Cobain? we're not going to survive this, no matter how well you do it. Yeah. None of us survive.
Whatever happened to him?
But how did that feel? I mean, were you scared or did you just go, this is the right decision?
Yeah, you know, it was the right decision. And, you know, I talked to my business partner about it. And, you know, for a little bit it was scary because we didn't know if we were going to, you know, sustain it. But we went through it. I mean, I think if you want to and you're creative, you can find ways.
Okay, that's a good attitude. I mean, I think that's the abundance.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, I mean... That's really hard. It's like telling people to be present. I'm really into that, like reading about that kind of concept. And it's one of those things that's easily said but hard to actually do, to always believe that, you know, it's always going to be fine. It will always work out.
Yeah, I mean, you got to like what you're doing. You shouldn't be doing it if you don't like it. Mm-hmm. And if it got bad, I'll do a dog food commercial. You know, I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy shooting. That's my first passion. And, you know, I enjoy doing creative stuff. And
well, not to be cliche, but I've heard it's probably such a simple quote, but it was like, love the process. And sometimes like I catch myself like doing what I love and actually like getting frustrated and resenting some sort of element. It's like, whoa, like I'm doing this because I want to. And yet here I am getting all annoyed because I didn't hear back on that email and I don't know this. And it's like loving the process. Like if you really genuinely do, it probably sounds like a much easier
road. I haven't had
a
real job since 2003. That's the last time I got a paycheck from someone.
Mm-hmm, from someone else.
I've been working for myself for 11 years.
Yeah.
So I mean,
that's amazing.
I don't.
Yeah.
Punching the clock. Hey, some people like that, and that's cool. But I never really had hobbies. So
really,
if I'm gonna go to 9 to 5, that's like I do all this stupid health shit now because you know, I figure I should be well rounded.
Yeah. Better at cocktail parties.
But I don't know what to do when I'm at those things and talking. I don't talk to people like working out and shit.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what's up? You know?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well, this is a segue. I had said it right before I think we started recording, was that I have a theory that I want to collect insight. I want to collect all these creative minds and the insight that they have to share to other people. But I have a theory that some of the best insight to share about working is what you're doing when you're not working. And you're telling me about this like health stuff. This is out of the office stuff, the things that you do to decompress, to get out of the stress, to get your head out of the out of work. Because if you're a workaholic, or you don't even have to be a workaholic, if you're an entrepreneur, you practically are a workaholic.
You're always
have to be
working.
Yeah. So what do you do when you're not working, and how does that work for you? Do you know what I mean? You have to not work. You have to disconnect to be.
My answer would have been so different like 2 years ago, because I'd
that's
be like
cool.
a drunken puddle.
Right. But I like that you're on a different vibe right now, because you probably have more...
Yeah, travel and I hike. God, this sounds so...
No, I hate how you're so reluctant to like, you know, make fun of yourself about these things.
I make a nice batik.
Love
just
it.
Listen to some Joni Mitchell.
Light a candle.
Pet my cat. Take a warm bath.
No, come on.
Slowly
seriously.
Slice my veins open. What do I do? That's really what I do.
Yeah, you work out.
Yeah.
Come on.
That sounds terrible.
It doesn't.
You know, it's weird because I don't really go out that much. I don't, you know, like I was telling you before, when we've worked so long in liquor now, it's kind of like being behind the veil.
Uh-huh.
So I don't really enjoy, when I have my free time, it's not like I'm going to be standing at a bar. I don't really want to do that.
Does it take the fun out of it, or is it just a personal?
It's personal.
Right.
You know, I enjoy a glass of wine here and there, and I like to have, you know, eat dinner with people and have a good time, but I'd rather connect with people in a smaller setting. Or I hang out with my friends, you know, that are artists. Adam Wallacavage is a real good friend of mine, and, you know, I only say that because he's really inspirational. He's just this massively creative person that has this wonderful house, and he lives a block away from me, so to go there and just decompress and talk to him.
Yeah.
Because he's a good artistic foundation. He's a really good friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he's incredibly creative and insightful.
Mm-hmm.
So, and finding those people in your life is great.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, it's just nice to see that.
Yeah. Well, because they say, like, you are what you eat. Like, you are who you see.
I don't eat him. We don't have that kind of relationship.
You cut me off, you big jerk. You are who you seek counsel from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, how can you have a bunch of assholes for friends and then actually believe that you're not also an asshole? Do you
well,
know what I mean?
I'm going to, you know some of my friends, so, you know, I have a diverse group of friends, and I'm not really out of the asshole bucket yet, so I'm just sure there's a lot of people might disagree with you. But yeah, that's a good question. Did I answer it?
Well, I mean, is there anything else you have to say for the non-work you? I mean, I agree. I'm sure that...
I travel a lot, yeah. And I try to now at this point, I want to see more things that I'm not working.
Okay.
Because usually what I would do if I had a shoot, like if I went to Africa for a shoot,
uh-huh.
you know, I'd go there, but I'd try to put 2-3 days in there to explore. And have
Yeah.
Or, you know, any place I go, we went to Utah for the Bonneville Salt Races, and mm-hmm. we were shooting something there. Spent 3 days in Utah because I wanted to see bison.
Yeah.
You know.
For sure. No, there's nothing worse than going somewhere for a job and then leaving and then being like, people, how was it? And you're like, I wouldn't know.
I like how I said that too. I wanted to see bison. Which is really exactly what happened. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to go see some bison.
Yeah.
And I should have filmed it because just this like single dude in a rental car driving to Antelope Island and then getting out, swatting a couple mosquitoes, and then there's bison. And I'm like, I saw some bison.
Yeah,
and then I get back in the car, and then I went to like a Denny's. It's Utah.
Yeah, I've been.
Things are fun. Yeah, it's beautiful. But I like doing those. And then I'm going to try to plan some trips this year. I want to do the Himalayan Trail.
Okay.
That's my new thing.
Okay.
Maybe it's definitely a midlife crisis thing. And I noticed a lot of entrepreneur guys that are kind of my shape and losing their hair like I'm losing my hair
uh-huh.
always do like Todd Carmichael go climb some fucking mountain and shit mm-hmm. or like raise mm-hmm. a village. So mm-hmm. maybe there's a theme there.
I think it will ultimately be more rewarding than a Maserati. So I say
yeah.
go for it.
Yeah.
Are you going to get like one of those stickers that says how much you've run?
Yeah. I'll get like an Iron Man tattoo yeah. or like a picture of me with like a Nepalese monk. And I'm like,
yeah.
found enlightenment, LOL, and like a little like emoticon of Buddha.
But I mean, you joke about it, but I mean,
yeah.
do you have any genuine interest in those types of things?
No, yeah, I definitely,
okay.
I like...
Is that like your way of processing is to make... like enormous fun of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. I think this, like I was telling you before, people share so much now.
Yeah.
And we try to share our enlightenment as well.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
And it's kind of funny because, like, you know, I fuck around on social media and I joke around a lot, but the things I see people sharing, it's just, it's lonely.
Oh.
You know, that
yeah.
kind of stuff, you realize they're lonely. And it's sad, even, and you notice when people are sharing more and more about these, like, really inner feelings that they're having, which
yeah.
is wonderful and nice.
I think I saw a chart that Facebook actually conducted, it was said,
yeah.
like, the more lonely, the more posts, like,
yeah.
there's a definite correlation between those two states
yeah.
of mind. Yeah, no, I get
it. And it's
it.
Really odd, and it's, like,
which
I'm not saying I'm lonely.
It calls for more than reason. Yet. You're like, I'm
really sad right now. No, but that's the thing. People share too much, and that's what I'm making fun of. But do I think people should constantly be growing? Of course. And,
yeah.
And growing inwardly? Yeah, of course
yeah,
you
yeah.
need to. If I think about who I was at 28, and
yeah.
I think about who I am now, and thank God I made some changes.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
God I got my head in check. Or,
yeah.
you know, the sheer amount of negativity that I had would have just destroyed me.
Uh-huh.
And I never thought if I was 28 and listening to someone like me saying that now, I'd be like, what a fucking asshole.
yeah. it's a circle of life, man.
Yeah. But also, I want to see a lot more stuff. And
yeah.
for the first time in a very long time, you know, it's like I want to enjoy life. And
yeah.
It's so easy, especially in creative fields, to get so down on yourself because it's an industry of approval and disapproval.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in advertising, when you're in restaurant world,
mm-hmm.
when you're an artist,
mm-hmm.
it's so subjective.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and you're
yeah.
putting yourself out there
yeah.
and people are either going to love you or
yeah.
hate you or not give a fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's really hard. You have to learn how to deal with that.
Yes. No, I think that's a really great point.
Rejection's really hard to deal with
yeah.
in general. And I think artists and people that create things, as much as they want to put on that veneer, yeah, that it doesn't hurt, yeah, it fucking kills.
Absolutely. No, I think that's a great point.
Why won't she call?
And we're going to finish on that.
Don't ever.
Well, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And I will take you up on that tour.
Wonderful. Thanks. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to show your support through comments and reviews.